Welcome.
Hello.
This is the first ever episode of
Between Rounds,
our new podcast.
Sort of podcasty thing.
Yeah. It's the unofficial Windmill Slam podcast.
It's pretty much official. Like, it's as official as you can get with a Windmill Slam podcast.
That's fair. Austin, why is it called Between Rounds?
Because we're recording this between rounds of recording our draft videos.
Damn right, because we never get together outside of recording because we're too busy.
Literally never see each other. It's like college and you know, social lives and the fact that we don't really like each other.
I've hated you since, you know, week three of Windmill Slam.
But we're committed at that point. We had 40 subscribers who would have been devastated if we stopped.
And now there's dozens of dollars at stake.
Yes, literally dozens. Yeah, no, we just figured we've got a bit of time between rounds, usually about 20 minutes. And 20 minutes is a decent amount of time to talk about random grab that we wanted to talk about.
Plus, this means that the episode length is going to be random.
It's like drive to work, but without moving.
Yeah, except we probably won't ever put out a 4-minute episode, right?
Well, probably not. Yeah, we just record between the next two rounds.
Anyway, moving on. Mm-hmm. What's been big in the world of Magic the Gathering this week?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of the stuff we want to talk about. We want to talk about
news.
Magic news. We're going to keep it mostly Magic themed, but we can also just talk about whatever the hell we want, because that's the nature of a podcast.
Sure.
In Magic this week, the Pro Tour was last weekend.
Yep. As we record this.
Yeah, as we record this, yeah. Pro Tour Brussels.
Yes.
Which was, it's funny, because we live in Ireland,
mm-hmm.
which is in Europe, for those of you who don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like when the Pro Tours are in the States, because it's about 5 or 6 hours behind, usually, and that means when I get home from college or work, then the Pro Tour is in full swing or just starting. But when it's in Brussels, I'm missing it because I'm in college all day.
You just think it would be more convenient, but it's less convenient.
It's actually less convenient, yes.
Yeah.
But so I didn't watch as much of it as I normally do, but I caught a bit of it.
I caught a bit of it too.
Mm-hmm. Top 8 was a lot of green.
A lot of Esper.
And the Mono Red won it.
Yep.
Which I haven't seen happen in quite a while. It's usually one of those decks that will like sneak its way into the top 8. I don't think I've seen it.
I think that was what happened this time, except it just happened to also win.
Yeah. I mean, it was well positioned.
It's
well positioned against a field of green devotion and blue-black control.
Sure.
And I've entirely forgotten the name of the man who won it. Danish guy.
I'm going to look it up. In BAM.
Yeah, do that. But yeah, no, it was definitely a... Like, dragons did shake things up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now
we have a dragon-themed deck.
Yeah, and Deathmist Raptor and what's that card called? Den Protector.
Uh huh. Big
powerful deck. Engine, just really powerful. Along with the green-white devotion decks. I don't think one snuck its way into the top.
No, I don't think it did.
But green-white devotion with Den Protector, Deathmist Raptor, Mastery of Unseen, and the big guy, the 5-mana 4/4.
Caluminous?
No, the 5-mana 4/4, not the 4-mana 5/5.
Whisper Elemental.
That's him.
You know what problem with that deck is?
What?
You get a lot of draws.
Yeah,
you get a lot of games going to time.
Yeah, because well, you do in the mirror.
The
big issue is you don't have a way to go over the top. You don't mm-hmm. have a way to win the game.
Martin Dang from Denmark won the Pro Tour.
Martin Dang from Denmark. Yeah, I mean, Mono Red Aggro, it's definitely a deck.
Mm-hmm.
Zergo, it's pretty powerful.
Just as 1-mana 2/2.
1-mana 2/2 with, and the dash is relevant.
Yep.
Especially with the amount of control in the field.
I just like that it was Pro Tour Dragons of Tarkir. And Esper Dragons is a thing.
Yeah, Esper Dragons. Silmgar Scorn, basically counterspell.
Basically counterspell if you play enough dragons.
Mm-hmm. Little bit sad that Mutavault is gone.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
It would have been really smooth, but just doesn't. I mean, maybe that would have been too powerful.
Unfortunately for Martin Dang,
mm-hmm.
the thing that people cared about most of the Pro Tour was not really what won. It was Pat Chapin.
Yeah, that was the big story.
That garnered a lot more like traction online and discussion than any Pro Tour game actually did.
For those who might not be familiar, Dennis,
which I think is zero of our viewers.
Yeah, so basically what happened is Chapin's playing Abzan midrange.
I think so.
And plus ones in Ajani, he uses the plus one that looks at the top four. This is Mentor of Heroes, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The green white Ajani. And it's the plus one that looks at the top four, and you can take a creature, aura, or planeswalker
mm-hmm.
and put it into your hand. You have to reveal it, though. Same way with any of those conditional put-into-your-hand things, mm-hmm. you have to reveal it first.
He chooses a Tasigur.
Now, the flip was 3 lands and a Tasigur, mm-hmm. and he just looks at the top 4. He's moving quite quickly. Now, you have to understand, like, the match was running a little bit late.
He'd already been told twice to speed up.
Mm-hmm. And he's in a feature match, so he's already under pressure. He looks at the top 4, sees 3 lands and a Tasigur, drops the Tasigur into his hand, puts the 3 on the bottom,
Now, his hand was face down on the table, mm-hmm. and he put the Tasiger on top of the hand, orientated a bit differently, mm-hmm. and then was about to pick it up.
Now, according to the rules of the game, the moment a card touches your hand, you're considered to have drawn it or put it into your hand. Mm-hmm. The moment it touches any of the other cards in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
So, he did not reveal the Tasiger before it was put into his hand. I mean, theoretically, there's no way to confirm whether the Tasiger was the card he took off the Ajani.
Or it was just in his hand before.
Mm-hmm. So he was given a game loss.
For drawing extra cards.
Exactly. Now, a lot of people got up in arms in this because it was on camera, and on camera you very clearly saw the four cards, which were land, Tasiger.
Fact shape also offers to reveal his whole hand, mm-hmm. and makes the point that his opponent has seen all of those cards due to the course that they had in play beforehand. That doesn't matter.
No. Now, there's a rule in the comprehensive rules which says that video coverage isn't... Like, video recordings of the game aren't allowed to be used in evidence.
For judge calls.
Yeah. Now, I don't... The argument there is that feature matches shouldn't be treated any differently than regular four matches.
Counter argument is they already kind of are.
Yeah.
They get extra time.
There's several things about this. They are given extra time. You have to make allowances for the fact that there's a bit more pressure on the players,
mm-hmm.
especially when you're playing like slow decks in a long matchup. And the other thing is, the bit that really got to me was there have been a couple of cases, a couple of very high profile cases in the last year or so of players being retroactively penalized,
mm-hmm.
when they've been caught cheating on camera after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
When video evidence has been used to say, there was Jared Betcher. And he was caught manipulating his opponent's deck, but he wasn't caught at the time. It was discovered later due to the video footage.
So the problem is that video footage can be used to condemn, but not to exonerate.
Exactly, and that seems weird to me.
That does seem weird. But now, that was in the condition where they were dealing with someone cheating.
Exactly.
Which is a bannable offence.
Now, the difference here is no one is saying Chapin cheated.
He made a mistake.
Exactly.
And received the appropriate penalty for that mistake.
It's a game error,
mm-hmm.
drawing extra cards. And he was given a game loss. If he had been accused of cheating,
sure,
that's a disqualification and possibly a banning. Like, nobody is saying he cheated. None of the judges are saying he cheated. The way the coverage handled it was...
That's the next thing I was going to say. Yeah. It got messy because they stuck on the camera on Chapin and watched as he pleaded his case. He pleaded his case quite a bit,
mm-hmm.
and for quite a while.
Yeah.
I think until it's like 16 minutes of watching Pat Chapin argue with the head judge.
Yes.
Which really, and you can see Cedric Phillips go off on about this on Twitter,
mm.
shouldn't really be on camera.
No.
And Marshall and Randy really shouldn't be commentating about it.
Agreed.
And that's messy, and it's awkward for Patrick, it's awkward for the head judge, it's awkward for everyone watching at home. Mm-hmm. They should have just cut to the news desks.
Or they have the live look-in option.
Anything else.
They have another match.
But importantly, I think they should have afterwards come back to the head judge and had him explain what happened.
Yes.
Because that's interesting. The most interesting thing for me that ever happens in poker is when judges get called.
Yep.
And things get resolved, and it's like, ooh, what's going to happen now? Is someone going to get a game loss? This is a big, interesting thing. But that's not the way you should handle it.
No.
Because that's not even interesting to watch.
No.
A guy plead his case as he's panicking. Understandably, he's under a lot of pressure.
Yep.
For, 10 plus minutes.
Yep.
That's not how you should handle that. So you think instant replays should be allowed to exonerate players?
I don't know what I think about this, to be honest. I think it would take a lot more thought than I've put into this to have a strong opinion on
it. The issue comes down to the whole treating feature matches differently.
Yeah.
And the thing about that is, we don't treat feature matches differently where possible,
mm-hmm.
but if we had the capability to film all of the games at the Pro Tour,
yeah.
and have them all be retroactively exonerated, mm-hmm. we would, surely.
Yes and no. I think you're right that the circumstances when it comes to someone like Jared Betcher's situation and Patrick Chapin's situation is no one is disputing that Chapin put the card on top of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
No one's disputing that he didn't reveal it.
He was disputing that it wasn't part of his hand yet, and that it was, or because he placed it down sort of next to and at a different angle.
Yeah.
But you have to draw the line somewhere as to
like the rule. The rule is if it touches your hand, it's an extra card.
It's in your hand. Yeah.
So that's not in question. What was when it came to the Betcher case, that it was in question whether he was manipulating his opponent's deck.
Now, did he get penalized for drawing extra cards or for a game rule violation of not revealing as the
So okay, the not revealing thing.
Mm-hmm.
makes it drawing extra cards.
Okay.
If he'd revealed it and put it in his hand, nothing's happened.
Sure.
Okay. He's resolved the effect appropriately. But the fact that he didn't reveal it is drawing extra cards.
Okay.
So, I think in this situation, I think it was handled correctly in terms of the judge ruling, not in terms of the coverage.
Yeah, I don't dispute the judge ruling at all.
It's just a frustrating situation when you see a guy who's just made a small physical mistake.
Mm-hmm. In what should be a mental game.
Yeah. Under so much pressure, and when you clearly saw that...
Like, he wasn't doing anything dishonest.
Exactly. Like, it's very easy to look at those four cards and go, Tasker's the only option, straight in my hand. Mm-hmm. And just forget to reveal.
When you're on camera in front of thousands of people and they've already told you to hurry up twice. And, like, the problem is, though, it's the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law.
Yeah.
And they sided with the letter of the law in this case.
Which because, I think is because you do have to draw a line.
And the thicker that line, the better.
Yeah.
Right? I want to draw a clear distinction between what we're talking about with Patrick Chapin and cheating, because they're not the same thing. No. Patrick didn't cheat; that was never up for grabs.
Just made a mistake.
Have you ever cheated at Magic the Gathering?
Have I ever cheated in the game of Magic?
Mm-hmm.
Not that I can remember. I can very easily, like, I learned to play when I was 8 years old with my dad, so I can very easily see myself, you know,
being
fluffing
a little bit
just because I never beat him.
I think I might have. I think I've said this to you before that I might have not pointed out a trigger to my opponent.
I think at the time you did that, though, that wasn't cheating.
I think so, too.
Like, that's quite a hard one to remember, because they've changed the trigger rules so many times, I don't remember
when that was. But I've never consciously, like, tried to deceive my opponent, I don't think.
I have made plays that would only work if my opponent forgot a trigger out of desperation.
Or interpreted the rules wrong or something.
No, I would never... I wouldn't... That's a distinction I make that's possibly arbitrary, but one I find quite important to me, which is, like, it's the difference between pointing a lightning bolt at a Kira the Great Glass Spinner or at a Core Firewalker, you know? Not Core Firewalker, what's the one?
Core Fire Dancer?
The one with Pro Red. Whatever card with Pro Red is. Master Waves. It's the difference between pointing a lightning bolt... If I point a lightning bolt at a Master Waves, I've cheated.
Well, that's not a legal move.
Yeah, I can't do that. Yeah. And if I let my opponent put his Master Waves into the graveyard, I am cheating at that point.
Only if you know that that's not correct.
But I'm assuming in both these situations I'm doing it intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
If I point it at the Kira, I'm hoping he misses his trigger.
But that's legal within the rules of the game.
Exactly. I'm just playing an angle. I'll do that in a competitive setting when I'm desperate.
Sure.
I won't do that against a friend of mine.
I have had
a testing
similar thing happen to me on Magic Online, where I mistakenly cast a Trumpet Blast that was going to win me the game during my main phase. Which, as you know, doesn't do anything.
Yes.
My opponent conceded on the spot. Now, if I was playing in paper,
yeah.
Do you think it would have been acceptable for me to go, before playing attackers, go, Trumpet Blast, I win? Or say Trumpet Blast, then after I've done that, I realize it doesn't do anything, and then I try to convince my opponent that I've won.
So,
there's nothing in the rules that says I have to be honest with my opponent, except for, like, the cards I have in hand and my life total and stuff.
You can't really try and convince your opponent to concede.
Of course I can.
No.
I just can't offer them anything.
So if you go... Misrepresenting the board state is a game rules violation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go... It very much depends on your wording. And this is where the letter of the law bit starts to get on my nerves. This is where, like, things like the collusion thing are really frustrating to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the letter versus spirit thing is so noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole prize splitting thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much barbed wire to step around.
Sure.
When you're trying to split prizes.
The only time I ever had to split prizes like that is when I made the top 8 of that PGQ.
Yeah.
And I just went, judge, tell me what my options are.
Yeah.
And then present it to my opponent for me, please.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to lose this.
Because, like, saying things in the wrong order, not even saying the wrong thing, saying them in the wrong order can get you disqualified.
Anyone's curious, what happened there was first place got the Pro Tour ticket, and then first place also got half a booster box, and second place also got half a booster box.
Yeah.
We decided to make it so that second place got the whole booster box instead.
Okay.
I was informed by the TO that if I were to win, or either of us were to win, we were under no obligation to actually give the other person the half of the booster box, though.
Interesting.
So this was a gentleman's agreement and was not bound by the rules.
Right.
I don't know how true that is. It seems very strange to me.
Price splitting, I don't think, is ever
bound by the rules. I think it might be. Anyway, that's irrelevant.
Anyway, yeah, that's just another one of those gray areas. But if you were to go Trumpet Blast
mm-hmm.
in your main phase before having declared any attackers. Realize your mistake and then say something like attack you for the amount you would have been attacking with the Trumpet Blast had it worked sure. properly. Then you're not playing by the rules.
Then I'm just representing the board state.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If you were then to go... However, if you went Trumpet Blast your main phase, realized your mistake, and then went attack you with everything...
That's fine. Even and my opponent goes concede.
You are under no obligation to go, actually, that's not lethal.
No, right.
It's also going to depend on the setting. Like...
The rules of enforcement level, like...
Yeah. I'd imagine, like... Well, not even just the rules of enforcement level. Like, if you're just playing at FNM, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you happen to go Trumpet Blast, attack you. I don't think there's a lot of people who are going to go, you cast that in your main phase.
I would absolutely call my opponent on that if they did the tournament.
Really?
100%. If we were playing at your kitchen table,
uh-huh.
and an 8-year-old girl has wandered into your house,
yeah.
and is playing me, I'm going to go, nah, you're an idiot, you lose.
Okay.
I'm taking every edge I got.
Cutthroat.
Pre-release, I might let it slide.
Okay. Well, hang on. How is the pre-release less serious than the 8-year-old girl who happened
how
to...
Was she
how did she get into my kitchen?
I don't know. She smelled magic cards and came into play.
Right.
She needs to learn. The pre-release guy, pre-release guy, having a fun time. You got to teach the girl a lesson. It doesn't matter.
I think we've gone off topic a little.
It doesn't matter that she's a girl for the story, by the way.
Right, okay. An 8-year-old...
Human. A dog. If I'm playing against your dog, Charlie, and he's like, brruh, brruh, my bird, a park, I'm calling him out on it.
I actually wouldn't put that past Charlie.
That's fair.
He's terrible at resolving Trumpet Plus.
So do you think you're ever being cheated against?
You know, I don't ever remember being cheated against.
That's worrying, right?
I don't think so.
I find it worrying, because I'd like to have caught someone, because I know I have the
wherewithal.
Scruples yeah. to
I
catch
mean,
someone.
The thing is, it has a lot to do with the settings in which I play Magic. Like, I don't... I played the odd PTQ kind of thing, but mm-hmm. most of my Magic experience is either an FNM or something like that, or just playing with my friends.
And I almost exclusively play online.
Where there's little to no possibility.
There's very... essentially zero.
They'd have to hack Magic Online.
They could lie to you in the thing... In the chat.
Yeah, but you're still under no obligation to concede.
No, that's true. I mean, the least ethical thing I had ever done is my opponent had very little time on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
I kept talking to him in the chat, and he kept responding to drain his clock, and eventually he was like, dude, fucking leave me alone. And I was like, alright, sorry. And I was like, sorry. Didn't mean to be a jerk. Sorry if I was distracting. It was the war. I'm not proud of it, but I won that game on time.
Dennis, I'm not happy.
You gotta go with every head you can possibly get. I wanted that pack.
So, are there circumstances where you could, like, you know, you are very cutthroat, very mm-hmm. spiky. Like, that's the time thing's already a gray area ethically, I
sure.
guess. However much ethics you can ascribe to a card game.
Mm-hmm.
Could you ever see yourself cheating in a game of Magic?
It's difficult, because I'm one of those spiky people that's like, hey, I want to do everything I can to win.
Yeah.
And surely then there must be situations where the biggest probability of winning is cheating.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a risk-reward associated with it. If I cheat and then I get banned from Magic for 6 months,
not great.
Now, the issue is I play only online, where I can't really get banned because I can just make a new account.
Sure.
Which I'm sure is against the terms of service.
Probably.
But so is selling tickets for money, and people do that all the time.
Sure.
But I don't think I could bring myself to cheat. Like, have you ever shoplifted?
Not that I can think of.
I haven't either. It would be laughably easy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the risk-reward there is tiny. You're losing the euro to pay for the Mars bar
yeah.
to potentially get caught shoplifting, which yeah. is not great.
No.
But
I feel like, to be honest, the thing that's probably... That's probably kept me from shoplifting in the past. It's not the, like, threat of legal action
mm-hmm.
or anything like that. It's just, it'd be really awkward if you were caught. Imagine having to give that back and be like, yeah, sorry, I took your money for
it. You put your hands in your pockets, you screw your foot into the ground.
Sorry. Yeah. That'd be terrible. I'd like, feel really awkward.
If...
I steal digital content literally all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would turn...
Hey, Ashley, you've watched all of Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah.
You're paid for HBO?
No.
Didn't think so.
Nope.
There you go. I feel like that piracy is different from stealing.
It's the magic Mars bars argument, isn't it?
Yeah, if I take the Mars bar from the shop and then another one magically appears in its place,
who cares?
The answer is that I might have bought the Mars bar.
Exactly. but I'm in a situation where I'm never going to buy
HBO. Well, you can't.
No. But Sky, whatever it is, Sky Atlantic. Here, Sky Atlantic.
You can buy that. So I've never shoplifted, and therefore I've never cheated at Magic. I think that's
it's called. Let's put a lid on that discussion.
But like, I play almost exclusively Magic online.
Yeah.
You recently stopped playing it altogether. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. It got to a stage. I tried to fire up a draft there about 6 weeks ago.
Been clean since.
I fired up a draft. I made it about 3 picks in, and then the client crashed. And I opened it up, and I was on pack 1, pick 10, I want to say.
Oh.
Still salvageable. I'd made 3 really good picks, right? And there was some junk, but some uncolored junk.
Sure.
So I was like, okay, this sucks, but I will play it out, and I'll file for reimbursement. And then pack 2, pick 3, it crashed again. And I didn't get in back in until pack 3, and at that point I was like, I don't want to play with this pile.
So now the issue you brought up with reimbursement, that
I never actually filed for reimbursement because I was like, I'm never doing this again. I don't keep my money.
The thing is, then you said the Magic Online's argument there is, well, you got your money back. Why are you so sad? It's like, if I could go and log on and be miserable for 40 minutes to get the value of the packs that I opened, I wouldn't do that.
No,
I want the experience of drafting.
That's what I'm paying for. And also, like, it's a bad argument because, like, I was in a situation at one stage where I was playing a cube draft? Some sort of draft. I was playing an 8-4.
Right.
And literally swinging for lethal in the finals, a message pops up on the screen that says the event has been cancelled and your entry fee has been reimbursed.
Refunded to you.
That
sucks.
And at that point, I haven't got my money back.
No.
Because I won 8 packs.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me is a poor
experience.
Well, it's also a poor justification from their side.
But you've quit really hard. Like, I think we're allowed to say this. MTGO Academy gives us tickets for the videos we make for them.
I think we are allowed to say that. We just can't say a number.
You can't say a number, right?
Yeah.
Ordinarily, I would split those tickets with you.
So what happens? Yeah, the way we make a laughably small amount of money from this, but it is still an amount of money and it has to be handled in some way. So the actual money that's worth something is split between the two of us evenly. And then what used to happen was any tickets that were left over from paying for the two draft videos a week we do,
or one and a half
draft videos a week we do, is split between the two of us.
You a while ago said, don't bother sending me my tickets anymore. Yeah. I ain't gonna use them.
No.
Which is great news for me
because you get more tickets,
but it's a little sad for you.
Nope, not really.
You're okay with it?
Yeah. I do play a lot more paper than you. You don't have a lot of people to play paper with.
No, I don't really go to the
big game store. You've got a society in college, but you don't.
But I don't really go to that.
But I do spend a lot of time with the game society in my college.
Yeah, your friends are people who play Magic.
Yeah.
My friends are not people who play Magic.
Exactly.
My friends play Magic I started a YouTube show with.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, but I play online because it's convenient. Because I can play whatever hour of day I want.
Mm-hmm.
I can play 8 drafts in a day if I want, and I can play without putting any pants on.
I just found that I was never enjoying the experience. Now, it could be something to do with, like, I have a reasonable laptop. It's mostly a college work laptop.
Sure.
But it should be able to move pictures of cards around on a screen without too much difficulty.
Like in, you know, Hearthstone.
Exactly.
Which I play
on my laptop all the time.
Seamlessly.
Yeah.
Which I can now play on my phone.
Exactly. Don't get me started. But, yeah, no, it's just to the point where whenever I fired up a draft, I was more worried about interacting with the client or misclicking, which I was always quite bad at, than I was enjoying playing the games of Magic.
So it was a net loss of joy for you.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a pretty reasonable reason to quit, I guess. Now, I mean, you're not saying you're never going to play Magic Online again.
I play Magic Online twice a week.
Yeah.
But I don't touch the buttons. You do that.
That's true. That's only because I play more often, so I'm more used to it.
Yeah, you're better.
Like, when was the last time we made a mistake like that? Like, we S6 for our own turn or whatever. Hasn't been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It used to happen all the time.
Yeah.
It's like,
and also, I've noticed the client's been crashing a lot less for you.
But that's partially due to the client updating. That's fair enough. It's better than it used to be. My laptop's a lot better now as well.
Mm.
Joining drafts now, though, on my new laptop is very tricky.
Yeah.
Like, when you join a draft, the client seizes up for anywhere between 1 and 3 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. If it's close to... anywhere between 20 seconds and 2 minutes, I'd say, is more accurate.
Okay.
If it's 20 seconds, not a huge deal. If it's 2 minutes, it means the draft can fire and I can miss my first pick.
Yeah.
Which has happened on occasion. Like, if I go to join a draft...
Now, is that joining drafts as in the draft fires, or joining drafts as in clicking the button?
Clicking the button.
Okay.
Well, like, it's gotten to the point where if there are 5 people in the queue, I won't click the button. I'll wait for the draft to fire, and I'll want to be the first person in the queue to give myself a buffer
right.
to prevent that from happening.
That's fair enough.
But, I mean, that's not great.
No.
That's
if everyone is having that issue, drafts will never fire.
Drafts never fire, exactly. for me at this point, playing Magic Online is like flying a plane that I really love flying, but all of the controls are made out of like hot dogs.
Okay.
And like it works.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the plane will fly.
Yeah.
But I acknowledge that sometimes it's going to crash and burn, and I have to deal with that and buy some new hot dogs. My analogy is starting to fall apart. I think you're with me mostly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing that it exists because Magic is such a great game that the more people who are able to play Magic, the better. And the fact that, like you say, you can play it at any time is fine. It's just, I recently found it's not for me.
Fair. And to be fair, if I hung out with you and your friends more often, I probably would play less Magic Online.
Yeah. It is.
That is not me begging you to invite me to hang out with your friends more often.
Come on, yeah, it's fine. The fact that it's a facility where we can make Magic videos without a crappy camera on a badly lit table is also excellent.
True.
And draft videos just wouldn't be a thing if Magic Online didn't exist.
And then you and I would, I don't know, have started a Hearthstone channel.
Yeah.
And be infinitely more successful for it, probably.
Probably. But yeah, no, it's definitely a good thing that exists. I just don't like using it.
That's fair.
There's a lot of things that I don't understand why they don't fix. You know? It just seems like that some of the issues are laughably simple to fix.
Like what?
Like,
I know I'm putting you on the spot here, and I acknowledge that, but
I mean, that's probably a poor way to phrase it, because the way things stand now, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were in Wizards' shoes, and obviously I'm not, and I don't know the ins and outs of everything that's going on.
You don't even know your Wizards' shoe size.
If I was in Wizards' shoes, I like that. No, if I was in Wizards' shoes, like, the biggest issue is the fact that the code is so antiquated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the original back-end program
mm-hmm.
is so antiquated. So you can update the client as much as you want.
That's not going to change it. Yeah.
Exactly. So you don't have to take Magic Online down to start building a new back-end.
No.
You just need to start building a new back-end. And at some point, there's going to be a changeover, and that's going to be messy, and that's going to lose money, and that's going to have issues of its own.
I think that might be coming. What do you think of the new final, it would seem, duels game they're releasing that's free to play?
Yeah, kind of Hearthstone model. Yeah, yeah. Duels Origins or something.
Duels Origins, right.
Bad name for a game.
It's free to play, and I assume you're going to buy packs and tickets into drafts, or, you know, maybe you can buy tickets into drafts, you can buy tickets into the arena.
Yep.
You buy keys. Maybe you can win those by playing normally and grinding. It's just a normal free to play game. That has the potential to be much more successful than Magic Online. Now, it serves a separate audience. I, for example, would not be too interested in that.
Yeah, because there's a much smaller card pool. It's not... If the previous Duels model was any indication, there will not be the full
history of
15,000 Magic cards available.
Sure.
Plus,
I'd be much more interested in winning prizes and being more valuable.
I think part of the... one of the big differences that does make Hearthstone feel very different from Magic Online is the lack of a secondary market.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
there might not be in Duels.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, Magic Online does have a secondary market, and that does affect... Like,
the other issue, the big issue for me, is the length of games. Hearthstone games last 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
A game of Magic that lasts 5 minutes is a blazingly quick game.
That is a quick game of Magic, yeah.
You know? And you spend so much time sitting on Magic Online between rounds, like recording a friggin' podcast.
Yeah.
That...
How long are we at now and our next round still isn't fired?
Coming up on 30 minutes.
Okay.
When I've edited this down, we're 4 minutes into the podcast. No, but you spend so much time sitting around that it's just not an enjoyable experience that you can do on the crapper or on the bus.
Yeah.
You know? Now, the leagues that used to have Magic Online kind of fixed that, because you can play one round,
Mm-hmm.
We'll one round your league game and then play it again a week later.
But when you want to, nowadays when you want to play Magic Online, you're either playing a two man, which don't exist for limited,
or for 3.5 hours, yeah. 2 to 3 hours.
2 to 3 hours minimum.
You know? And that's a big commitment. Like, like it's very rare in my day that I can carve out 2 hours to do nothing except play Magic. And almost an hour of those 2 hours is spent waiting to play Magic.
Yeah.
Now you can mitigate that a little bit by double queuing, but that's not great.
That can backfire pretty heavily.
That also negatively impacts your experience.
Yeah.
These are fundamental concepts of the game that make it less conducive to an online client than something like Hearthstone is. But they're real big obstacles, and I think that Dual Origins might be able to tackle some of those.
Yeah.
I don't know why there isn't a mode on Magic Online where between rounds, instead of recording a podcast with your friend, you can say, hey, I want to play a game and with my draft deck.
Mm-hmm.
And it matches you against someone else in a different pod that's playing with their draft deck for no prize. Just to kill time.
Yeah. The argument against that is the nature of the draft format, which is that because of the packs, the decks will be mostly balanced against each other and you can have strong pods and weak pods.
So we're playing for fun.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind if I could play my 40-card Dragons of Tarkir against someone's Legacy Merfolk deck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with that, because it's better than sitting staring at the clock or going to watch a YouTube video.
Sure.
It keeps me in the client, it keeps me playing, it keeps me having fun.
Mm-hmm.
There should be something you can do. You should be able to do Pack Wars.
Pack Wars is cool.
Pack Wars between games,
mm-hmm,
that you don't pay a pack for. It's just a thing you can play Pack Wars on. Just play Pack Wars. Just a nice 5-minute Pack War game.
Mm-hmm.
And you do 5 of those, and my next round's starting. Cool, yeah. See you later, man. Or Momir or something.
Yeah. The trading interface also needs to be a ton better.
That's fair. But there should be little things you can do in the client.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Hearthstone does this on even so much a smaller scale, where I can play with the little waterfall.
Oh, yeah, you can click the little scenery button.
While my opponent's doing their turn for 20 seconds.
Yeah.
20 seconds, not 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And Magic Online is nothing.
Yep.
Now, Magic is a much more complicated game than Hearthstone.
Yes.
Massively more complicated. Both in terms of gate pieces and rules.
If I had the option, I'd rather be playing Magic than Hearthstone.
I'd agree. Time. But you just installed Hearthstone on your phone before we started recording this, and you haven't played Magic Online in 6 weeks.
Yep.
That says something.
It does.
That your preferred game is when you're not playing. Mm. You're playing in paper, but you could play online, you won't.
Yep. Agreed.
So I think that's a nice little ending point for our first episode.
Good rant.
Next week, ideally, we would have a question from one of you to answer here.
Can I say the name of the segment?
You can
We have a segment for the question, the audience question. We're going to call it In Response.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You specifically asked me not to do this, but I'm going to tell you what my suggestion for the segment name was.
Yeah, just give it its proper name. Don't bother explaining it.
Okay. It was Quibuntuququ.
Mm-hmm. No explanation.
No explanation.
No context.
You guys can figure out what that was an
In Response or Quibuntuququ. Which do you prefer?
Vote. Let us know on Twitter.
Yeah, but so if you guys have a question for us, send it to us on Twitter, email it to us. Twitter at WindmillSlam.
MTG.
MTG. WindmillSlamMTG@gmail.com is the email address if your question is slightly longer, because Twitter does limit you to 140 characters.
Or you can post it in the YouTube comments.
Also an option.
Yeah.
With this is probably going to go up on YouTube. We're going to put this up on YouTube for sure. We have to figure out
if we want to submit it to iTunes or not.
Yeah, and if we don't submit it to iTunes, we will at some point sort out an RSS feed so you can get the audio.
Mm-hmm.
But the first one's going to go up on YouTube until we get that all figured out.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, submitting podcast ideas is notoriously difficult.
I mean, we could just host it on an RSS feed. Like, that's...
Do we have to host a website for that?
Yeah, but that's 10 quid a year. Like.
But this actually is free.
That's true.
Anyway, we'll figure that out.
We will sort.
Let us know what you thought. If you have any suggestions for fun, wacky segments we can do on the show, which Justine hates, I want to have strict segments.
Can we just, like, you said it, it's two dudes talking. Can we not have gimmicks? Can we just talk? Can we just talk, Dennis? Can we do that?
That was Ushin's appeal of the week. Join us next week to find out what he's begging me for next time. No, but seriously, I've been Dennis.
You've been Ushin.
Um,
this has been a lot of fun. This has been Between Rounds and Our Round is Starting.